Time, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Dark 30 Hour here on Speaking of the Strange, where we take a dip into the more unseemly, kind of more lurid side of the pool, if you were. Sam the Animal Steel solo style in the studio tonight for the third and final hour of Speaking of Strange, where we make the unusual become usual. And unfortunately, some of these stories, you just wish that they weren't so usual, because it's like, what is becoming, what is happening to the world around us? Hope y'all are having a good Saturday night. Thank you for tuning in with us tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can catch the podcast on speakingofstrange.com. You know, you can always, if you're outside of the listening area, you can always pick us up on the iHeartRadio app. If you want to listen live, you can get that for your iPhone or your Android device. I want to thank hauntedashville.com, sponsors up in here. If you've not taken one of their tours, I would definitely encourage you to go to hauntedashville.com and book one with Asheville's original and oldest ghost tour. There's three different ones you can take. Maybe there might even be four. I'm not exactly sure. They have several different ones. Now they have a new self-guided tour app for Android as well. You can get that on the Google Play Store. Also want to thank the guys at M&D Paranormal. I was on their Facebook page. You can go to that, facebook.com/intothevale. And they were going to be on here tonight, except they are actually got called to do an investigation in Mississippi, where they write there has been a fair amount of Indian mounds on the property. They're going to be doing this investigation. Full apparitions have been seen, and one person died in a gruesome helicopter crash years ago. And also, on their Facebook page, learned that congratulations to they, as they, M&D Paranormal, the sole paranormal investigators of the historic Allison Deaver House and properties in Transylvania County. And that means they're the only people who can rightfully investigate there. However, 12 people can get the chance to investigate with them on their upcoming graveyard adventure tour, along with the awesome Riverside Cemetery in Asheville and a surprise previously uninvestigated location. And at the end, they end up at Helen's Bridge. So log on to facebook.com/intothevale. That's M&D Paranormal and Cryptid Research. You can visit their actual store in Marion, North Carolina. That's at 49 State Street, and you can reach them at 828-484-1637. So, this is the Dark 30 Hour. Maybe there's some material that some of you might find a little questionable. If that's the case, you know, we're deep into safe harbor now. And I can tell you that nothing's going to get so lurid. I'm the man behind the mic here. I won't take you so far down the path that you'll be disgusted or you'll need any therapy or anything like that, but for some of you, it might be a little PG-13. Have you been catching up on the Olympics? You been watching any of that? I have not. Not very big into the I do like curling. I like the Olympic, the captain of the men's team. He was rocking that stash. He was rocking it hard, unironically. He was just like, I got this stash, and I'm curling. And I thought that was a big highlight of the Winter Games for me. The closing ceremonies, a short time away, but I think the defining moment may have taken place already. I don't know if we can top this. A streaker took to the ice. You didn't see it on television, but he was there. I think you might be able to find some videos of it taken from some cell phones. He went onto the ice after the end of the 1,000-meter speed skating event, which if I was going to run naked out onto the ice, that's exactly when I would have done it. During the medal ceremony, he took the ice, made himself known to others. He had peace plus love written on his chest, and he was also, now my computer just froze up. Yeah, the computer, there we go. Now it's frozen the other way. Why? Why are you doing that to me? He had peace and love written on his chest. He was also wearing a tutu accompanied by a Speedo of some sort. Now, the Speedo had a monkey penis pouch adorned to the front of it. It's a look that not everybody can pull off. You know, it's definitely an acquired taste. I don't think everybody has the body to rock the monkey penis pouch. TMZ Sports reports he was able to stay on the ice for a period of time. Apparently, security in Pyongyang lax. He wasn't removed for the ice for many, many minutes. And you can see some video. I've got it pulled up right here. But it's really of no use on the radio because you can't see it. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, check that out. Definitely a highlight of the Winter Games. This one is so good solely for the headline alone. Like, if it was just the headline, this is from the DailyMail.com. I believe it's the Australian version of the Daily Mail, not the UK version of the Daily Mail. A former Freemason, 51, found drunk and naked inside a huge pipe organ. Wait, there is more. With a toy gun and remote-controlled police car. Okay, there's more. Says he got lost while trying to hand out cheeseburgers to the homeless. He was found lying inside one of the biggest organs in Queensland. That's funny in and of itself. His name is Glenn Langford. He was in court after he got arrested at the Freemason Center in Brisbane. He had intended to give burgers to the homeless, but instead he chugged a bottle of whiskey. The organ, that's the pipe organ, not Glenn's organ, feared to be too damaged to repair, and it was already insured for $1 million. So I think the moral of this story is man tries to do good. Man tries to hand out cheeseburgers to the homeless, right? That sounds legit. Sounds like he's doing God's work right there. Apparently, that's not so much the case. So, folks, if you're going to go out there and you're going to try to do something good, just remember that you might end up naked inside an organ, and you don't want that. You know what I'm saying? Do good, but keep your clothes on. Speaking of the Olympics, in Russia, been square up in the news lately with Trump tied in. You know, even as of the other day, there was like, I didn't pull this up, but, one of his members of his campaign staff basically gave up, was like, okay, I'm just going to tell everything in exchange for not going to prison. That's going to be interesting. But Russia definitely been in the forefront of the news as of late. And before the Olympics even started, you know, they were imbued in this doping type of scandal, right? So they did not ingratiate themselves to their fellow Olympians. But other Olympic athletes warmed up to this lady. I can't say her name, partially because it's very difficult to say. It's not Nadezhda Sergeyeva or something like that. Partially because, again, I did have oral surgery yesterday, and it hurts every time I open my mouth. I had some teeth extracted, cut out of my head. I had an infection in my jaw. It was not good. So it makes it difficult to pronounce. Well, her fellow Olympians warmed up to her because she had been allowed to compete in Pyeongchang in the Winter Games. She had been cleared by the International Olympic Committee. She had been being interviewed. I don't think that's proper English right there. Been being interviewed. And she was wearing a shirt that said, "I don't do doping." Now, it's a clear, bold statement, okay? It's up there with kids off drugs. "I don't do doping." Just coming straight out and declaring it to any and all. Look, you don't have to worry about me. Except yesterday, the Russian bobsled captain was confirmed to have failed a doping test. So that right there is called irony. And or just a blatant lying to yourself. She was one of the 168 Russian athletes that were specifically vetted before the games by the International Olympic Committee, which had banned Russia's Olympic Federation from Pyeongchang over past doping sins. But they allowed these pre-approved Russian athletes to compete under the moniker Olympic Athletes from Russia. So they weren't even allowed to compete as Russians. They were the Olympic Athletes from Russia. Now, she is the second Russian athlete and the fourth athlete overall to fail a doping test at these Olympics, joining her fellow Russian, Alexander Krushnevskiy. He was a curler as well. Because you know that edge that you get from, you know, human growth hormones, all sorts of blood doping when you're curling. Because that sweeper really gets that extra added value. You know, you got to be out there. You got to get any edge you can, especially in the Olympics. Yeah, she tested positive for trimetoprazine. It's used for angina. Angina's tough. That has been banned because of its effects on metabolism. They'll really use anything. You know, it seems like even Viagra, if you're an Olympic athlete, you can't use Viagra. If you want to get that a little extra edge in bed, you can't do it because it's a blood, it like thins the blood, and that can help. You know, you're looking for anything you can possibly do to gain an edge. And the president of the Russian Bobsled Federation says she denies taking the substance, that her initial drug test came back positive, but she took no such medication. The team confirmed she was not issued any. It's probably a poppy seed muffin, is what I would imagine. It was probably just something like that. Came at the worst possible time for Russia because the IOC executive board today was just deciding whether or not to reinstate the country for Sunday's closing ceremonies. And that's not going to win them any extra credit. I would have to imagine does not go over well. See, that's not so bad for the Dark 30 Hour. Starting off, I mean, we had a penis pouch. True. We had a penis pouch. We had a naked guy and an organ. There was some organ going on there. But you know what I'm saying. Where is that coming from? Okay. I was like, what? You ever get those pop-ups on you that just start playing? You don't know which tab is making the sound? I'm like, where is that sound coming from? It's speaking of strange. On News Radio 570 WWNC, where the unusual becomes usual. This is the Dark 30 Hour, and I am Sam the Animal Steel. Going to be back in just a few minutes with more stories. Sordid, seedy, weirdness, ladies' night. It's speaking of strange.
It was back in 63 when eating my cooking got the better of me, so I asked this little girl I was going with to be my wife. Well, she said she would, so I said I do. But I'd have said I wouldn't if I'd have just knew how saying I do was gonna screw up all of my life. Well, the first few years weren't all that bad. I'll never forget the good times we had, cause I'm reminded every month when I send her the child support. Well, it wasn't too long till the lust all died, and I'll admit I wasn't too surprised the day I come home and found my suitcase sitting out on the porch. Well, I tried to get in, she changed the lock. Then I found this note taped on the mailbox that said, "Goodbye, Tucky, my attorney will be in touch." So I decided right then and there I was gonna do what's right, give her fair share. But brother, I didn't know her share was gonna be that much. She got the gold mine, I got the share. They split it right down the middle, and then they give her the better half. Well, it all sounds sort of funny, but it hurts too much to laugh. She got the gold mine,
I got the share. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. You're listening to News Radio 570 WWNSC. You can also stream us on speakingofstrange.com. Pick up all your old podcast episodes there. Take them with you. Also, got to plug a little Joshua P. Warren, no period after the P.com. Check that out. He is the mastermind behind Speaking of Strange and behind hauntedashville.com, home of Asheville's original and oldest ghost tours. You can go to hauntedashville.com. Book that tour now because they do go fast. I was looking on the website. You got Tad McDivitt. He is one of the guides. I've known him a little bit, but he is such an interesting guy. You know, he's an encyclopedia. He's the chief occult researcher at the Asheville Mystery Museum, which you get to go to after your tour. Yeah. See, Joshua P. Warren's got his own museum. Much like my own home, we actually share a lot of the same stuff. And I was like, you just got a much bigger place to put your stuff. I need more room. I've got too much cool stuff. They say it's, some people call it hoarding. I say it's not hoarding if it's all cool, right? This is the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange, where we dip our feet into the more lurid and sordid side of the pool. Nothing going to be too bad, but if you get easily offended, you might want to tune out now. You know, we're not going to go like, there's not going to be any horrendous stories on here. I filter them through my disgusting mind, and I decide what is okay for the general consumption. This is okay. Now, I told you earlier in the week, yesterday I had some oral surgery. Right now I've got two gaping holes the size of fists in my jaw. And it sucks because you can't eat. I've been eating like all soft foods, eating a lot of mashed taters and ice cream, pudding, stuff of that nature. A lot of antibiotics and painkillers. So if I seem a little loopy or if the show's not that great, it's the pills. It's the opioid epidemic. What are you going to do? You get some teeth surgically cut out of your head. It hurts. And one of the side effects, and I don't mean to gross anybody out here, is you get constipated from the painkillers. That's why Elvis, you know, like it's always been a joke. Elvis is, you know, he died on the toilet. Well, yeah, technically he did die on the toilet. He died of a massive heart attack, but he was on the toilet because that's where he would spend the better part 5-6 hours at a time sometimes of his evenings reading. He was a very avid reader, but he took so many pills, so many opiates and stuff that it just clogged him up and he couldn't get it out. So that being said, I understand what it's like to not get something out. But this drug dealer in England, Brixton, which is a more rough part outside of London, he has refused to use the toilet now for 37 days. He ate his stash, right? So the cops are just like, okay, fine. We'll just wait for it to come on out. You know, then we'll bust you. We can hold you until then on suspicion. Well, they've been holding him for 37 days now. Now he's at risk of death, a court has heard. His name's Lamar Chambers. He was believed, they can't prove it, believed to have swallowed drugs during a police chase on the 17th of January. And the guy had rejected laxatives and an x-ray, but he has been eating and drinking. Now, I remember being at camp in middle school, and I was like scared of the older high school guys. So I didn't use the bathroom like number two for like a week because I was afraid that the older guys were going to like, you know, make fun of me or something like that. You know, it's bullying at its best. But that was awful. 37 days. Now, in his defense, he says that he hasn't had privacy. You know, I mean, you've been in that situation before where, you know, you're on the road, you're on a road trip, a car trip, you got the rest area. You want to do everything in your power to not do that because it's not home. It's not your home throne. The home throne advantage is always, you know, it's something that's oft overlooked. Well, you know, he's had cops sitting around him for 37 days. I imagine in jail, it's not very easy to do that. You have no privacy. He's being kept in a prison cell with two officers around him at all time. Now that there's a risk of something going seriously wrong in the arena of risk of death. They said that getting the suspected drugs that he allegedly has inside of him was the cherry on the cake and not necessarily crucial evidence. Well, if that's the case, why don't you just charge the guy and let him go to his home throne? You know what I'm saying? Seems a bit much that the guy's about to die because he's got some, like, coke in his stomach or something. I don't know. So this flu season been particularly harsh. Was at the doctor recently. They said, would you like a flu shot? I said, no. I would not like a flu shot. I'm 41 years of age. I have not had a flu shot ever in my life. And now, if I were to get one, chances are something cosmically wrong, you know, dramatically wrong would happen. I would probably die because of the flu shot. But this flu season, I forget how many people it's killed just in North Carolina, but it's getting close to, I know it's over 150. It's getting close to 200 just in North Carolina. Well, this should not offer any sense of well-being to any of us. Especially since the president a while back decreased the funds to the CDC. That's the Centers for Disease Control. You'd think like if there's one governmental organization that you'd really want to pump up with as much research development employees as possible, it would be the CDC. because that's the Center for Disease Control. Horrible stuff that you don't want to get. These are the people who are like figuring out cures, figuring out how to keep it at bay. If we knew a 15th of what they knew on a daily basis, we would just cry ourselves to sleep every night. We would never be able to have any rest, any downtime. We would just never have a happy moment because they know that we're like, a blink of an eye away from all bleeding out of our orifices to our death. Well, police are asking the public to help find a missing CDC and prevention employee who went home sick 10 days ago, hasn't been seen or heard from since. Now, this guy looks legit. I'm looking at his picture right now. He's wearing the uniform. Like, it looks like a Navy uniform. He's standing in front of the flag. It's a legit photo. He does not look like the kind of guy who just disappears and doesn't call anybody. Timothy Cunningham is his name, 35 years old. He went to work February the 12th, had to go home sick. They don't want you sick at the CDC. Don't be spreading germs up there. It's in Atlanta. The Atlanta Police Department said that Cunningham, who studied at the Harvard School of Public Health, is a commander in the Public Health Service, and he's been sent all over to respond to public health emergencies, including the Ebola virus, the Zika virus. The guy's no stranger, let's just put it that way, to infectious diseases. He knows what's up. He can handle himself. Well, they called him a highly respected member of our CDC family. He just looks like a very pleasant guy, a very smart guy, and it's very unusual, they say, for him not to contact his family. His parents say they found his phone, wallet, car, and keys, as well as his dog, at home. It's not the type of news you want to hear, his father, Terrell Cunningham, said. 35 years old, but always your child. My mom says that. Hey, Mom. They listen. Always going to be my little baby. This is an appeal to the public, his father added. We're seeking your help in bringing Tim home safe. Our thoughts and prayers are with his friends and family during this difficult time, said the CDC. Anyone with information, please call 911 or the Atlanta Police Homicide Adult Missing Persons Unit. Did the guy get murdered? Does he have some sort of disease? He went home sick. He works at the CDC. There's probably stuff floating around there that you don't. I get like perturbed like a mug when I'm at the Goodwill and like some lady who's wearing latex gloves, because God forbid what you're going to catch. I don't use the antibacterial hand cleaner. No, I don't wear gloves. I say welcome the germs. That's how you build an immunity. You go to the bins every day and you get exposed to that stuff. So hopefully you don't get sick. And I don't want to jinx myself. Knock on console here, but, if I get perturbed when, like, somebody's, like, coughing up in there. You work at the CDC, good heavens, who knows what you might get. Did he get something? Did something bad happen to him? Why is his dog at home? Why is his phone as well? Did he commit suicide? Who knows? These things, it's the world that we live in. People, today, you got to worry about this. You're listening to The Dark 30 Hour. We're in Safe Harbor. That's what they call it here. In radio world, where it's a little bit later at night. You can get away with some more sordid stories, some stranger things. I got a good one coming up. I tell you what, I've been saving it. Probably saving it for the last segment because it's that good. It involves delivery pizza, as Vance would say, pizza parallels, and it involves a sex toy. So we are going to save that one. But we get away with some extra stuff here in the Dark 30 Hour. So stick around on Speaking of Strange as we come back after this break. Got some more stories. I got something about you heard about the NCAA basketball, March Madness right around the corner. A lot of controversy going on in the NCAA. Going to talk about that. Also, some Seattle residents up there in politically correctville got really perturbed about something. Turns out it wasn't that thing at all. Find out what it is when Speaking of Strange continues.
going down to the skit. A baby is brought into a world of pits. And if we could have talked that soon in a delivery room, it would have asked the nurse for a hit. The reason for this, the mother is a jerk. Excuse me, junkie, which brought the work of the old into a new life. What a way. But this what a way has been a way of today. Anyway, push couldn't shove me to understand a path to a basic. Cause Truman should have raced it in a first wave. Cause second wave from believers and believers will walk to it then, even talk to it and say. Y'all can't have none of that. Tell them what to say, Mace.
You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. News Radio 570 WWNC, brought to you by MND Paranormal. Hit them up on the landline or on your cell phone, remember, 828-484-1637. Visit them in person in Marion, 49 State Street, MND Paranormal. Sam the Animal Steel, solo for this Dark 30 Hour. Third segment of the final hour. We're only one away from being done. I know, it's kind of sad. Just giving you a little heads up. If you're easily offended, you know, not all the stories are going to be offensive or anything. There just might be a couple of stories that might be a little offensive to some people. Not to everybody. You know, and in this day and age, what we take as offensive has really been pushed quite a bit. You watch some stuff from the 90s or whatever. Seems like so quaint now. Seems like Leave It to Beaver or something. And I remember back then, you'd be like, woo, that is pushing the envelope right there. And mind you, not all the stories are like foul in nature. Some of them are just incredulous. Like this one, the NCAA, the governing body of collegiate sports. I don't know what y'all's thoughts are on collegiate athletes. Student athletes, and some people are like, oh, well, they're getting an education. You know, like they should be happy to play for free. Well, that might be the case, except these players, you know, for the schools, like especially football, basketball programs, they're not making millions of dollars for these universities. They're making billions of dollars for the universities, brands, and television networks. Just a couple years ago, the top programs made a combined $9.1 billion. The NCAA, the governing body who says that they can't make money, just signed an $8.8 billion deal with CBS to air March Madness. Now, we all get involved in the madness, even those of us like myself who aren't really into collegiate sports. You get sucked in. It's called March Madness. It's not called March tepidness. No, it's a business. It's a very lucrative business. And that's the problem. You know, and especially that comes down to it, this lawsuit that's filed by former NCAA athlete Lawrence Poppy Livers. I like that name. Poppy. Asserting that scholarship students who play sports are employees and deserve pay. Now, this case argues that student athletes who got scholarships should be at least paid as work study students for the time they put in. You think about it. Like, some of these kids are, you know, the rigors of a collegiate sports team, that's like a full-time job. It's not that much different than the NBA, and you're expected to maintain, you know, I'm sure, you know, it's been shown that some schools fudge the numbers. That's a lot of time. You're looking at like 60-plus hours a week, something like that. Well, here is what the NCAA did. This is what makes it Dark 30 material, because it's so disgusting. It's as vile as anything happening in sports right now. And I actually had to look it up. At the root of its legal argument, the NCAA is relying on one particular case for why NCAA athletes should not be paid. That case is Van Skuyk versus Peters. Now, Daniel Van Skuyk was a prisoner at Statesville Correctional Center in Joliet, Illinois. Howard Peters was the director of the State Department of Corrections. Back in 1992, Van Skuyk and his attorneys argued that as a prisoner, he should be paid a federal minimum wage for his work. The court said no. They cited the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment is commonly hailed as the law that finally ended slavery in America, but the amendment has an important carve-out, okay? It kept involuntary service legal for those who have been convicted of a crime. Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Jurisdiction, the amendment says. It's that phrase, except as a punishment for crime, which allows America's prisons to force their inmates to do whatever work they want or need them to do for next to nothing. Now, that is what the NCAA is using. The use of the case stems from several other law cases alleging unpaid labor. Two of them are previous lawsuits against the NCAA, in which the case was cited as a precedent, and the NCAA won. So, basically, in a nutshell, the NCAA is saying that student athletes shouldn't be paid because the 13th Amendment allows unpaid prison labor. Read that. That makes it Dart 30 material. That's disgusting. That's outlandish. That's wrong. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to pay these kids MBA salaries. You don't have to give them, like, you know, $13 million a year. But, at least, I mean, you remember that 30 for 30 episode about the Fab Five? Those guys, you know, yeah, did they accept some money? They did. Did they have money to eat? No, they didn't. They were, like, the biggest sports phenomenon going on in the country back in the 90s, playing for Michigan. And Chris Webber couldn't even, like, get a pizza. I'm just saying, give them what, you know, give them something fair. Going to Seattle now, Seattle, Washington, the show Portlandia. Washington State, often seen, for the most part, in the bigger cities, not in the Nirvana woodsy area, but, like, in the bigger cities, as, you know, especially Portland, a progressive place akin to Asheville. Well, over the weekend, the Seattle Times jumped at a news tip. Hot story. Confederate flag flying beneath the American flag. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. In the city's Greenwood neighborhood, and residents, they were concerned. They were peeved. They were peeved, I tell you. Except, here's the problem. It turns out it wasn't the Confederate flag at all. It was the state flag of Norway. Frickin' Norwegians, man. Dude. And a group of friendly Norwegians at that. They were trying to show their patriotism and support for their Olympic team when their very overly conserved and politically correct neighbors contacted local media. God forbid. Now, I understand people's ire with the Confederate flag. I get it. I see that. I also see the side that maybe they don't get sometimes, which is, especially these days, not everybody is looking at it, in that way, as an offensive thing. It can mean several things. I believe that. But apparently, this is what somebody wrote, a tipster, a snitch, if you would. Snitches get stitches. Hi, suddenly there's a Confederate flag flying in front of a house in my Greenwood neighborhood. It is at the northeast corner of 92nd and Palatine, just a block west of 92nd and Greenwood. I would love to know what this means, but of course don't want to knock on their door. Maybe others in the area are flying the flag. Maybe it's a story. Maybe you got too much time on your hands, buddy. Maybe you shouldn't be contacting the media because, you know, so eager to get the scoop. The reporters hopped into a car, hightailed it to view the offending flag, except it was the Norway flag. It's been up there since the start of the Olympics. If you're going to complain, you're going to be a little snotty snitch, maybe you should get your facts straight. Yeah, Norway. Norway. Get this. 400 kilos of cocaine police have seized from the Russian embassy in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Arrested several members of a drug trafficking gang, announced Argentina's security minister. Man, the Russians all over the news. Got the doping in the Olympics. Finally let them in. Doping anyway. You got rigging of elections. They're just all over the map. They are not playing around. The drugs discovered in the annex of the embassy had a street value of $62 million. A gang of narco-criminals trying to use the diplomatic courier service of the Russian embassy to ship the drugs to Europe. Those diplomatic immunity things, I tell you what, it's a form of legal immunity that ensures diplomats are given safe passage and are considered not susceptible to lawsuit or prosecution under the host country's laws, but they can still be expelled. It's basically like it's a courtesy given to another country saying, like, okay, look, we're going to be in your country. You're going to be in our country. If our guy screws up, give him the pass. Give him the pass. If your guy screws up, we'll give him the pass. All right, just give him the pass. But a lot of times that's been used over time to really flaunt the laws. And I would suspect that in a case of 400 kilos of cocaine being found at the Russian embassy, man alive, the drug of very high purity destined for Russia and probably also Germany, where the suspected mastermind lives. We believe the German police will arrest this fugitive. The Argentina minister says Russian security service agents came to Argentina on three occasions to assist in the investigation. One of the two people arrested is a naturalized Russian who is a member of the police force in Buenos Aires. Investigators believe the cocaine likely originated in Colombia or Peru. There you have it, man. I tell you what, flaunting those diplomatic immunity laws like only the Russians can. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad about them because they got some power. They wield the power. Don't need them hacking my stuff. Don't need them looking too deep into Sam Steele's background. I'll tell you that much right now. You're listening. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. Log on to HauntedAsheville.com. Do yourself a favor. It's getting to be nice out. Very unusually warm temperatures for this time of year. Take advantage of some of these nice days and nights. Go learn a little bit about the town of which you now call home, because you're probably not from here, and you're raising my rent. Speaking of Strange, we'll be right back. The privilege indeed is mine. Sam the Animal Steel with you for the final segment of Speaking of Strange's Dark 30 Hour here on News Radio 570 WWNC. Could that be the best song of all time? I would definitely put it in my top three. Probably at number one, The Smiths. There is a light that never goes out. Now, just giving you a little heads up, you know, these last couple stories, I've saved them. I've saved them to the end, because I don't want anybody to get too offended or anything. There's a couple good ones I wanted to get to. I just stepped on my headphones. Pulled them out of, what just happened? I just broke my headphones. That's great. One final, a couple stories left, and I broke the headphones. Excellent. Anyway, we'll make do. That's what we do. Check this out. Sex robots. What do you know about them? Well, a sex robot boss, I didn't know there was such a thing. I think I need to aspire to something else in life other than radio. Be a sex robot boss. Says that men prefer his dolls. His dolls. He's talking like a pimp there. He's like, these are my dolls. You respect my dolls. He prefers that men prefer his dolls to real women because porn has warped their minds. Now, this is definitely a theory that's been going around out there that, you know, when we were growing up, I don't know about y'all, when I was growing up, you made do with what you had. Whether that be the Sears catalog, if you were very lucky, the Fredericks of Hollywood catalog, you know, basically anything you had. Pictures of girls in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was amazing. Nowadays, you got all these, you know, it's frightening in a way, but you become used to it. It's just so much porn out there. Well, that's why he says that men now prefer robots to real women. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, living lonely lives, seeking something to fill that void, you know, somebody to be there. Well, the boss, known only as Brent, that's like a sex doll boss name right there, Brent, says that sites like Pornhub and RedTube have raised the bar on what is seen as attractive to the point that men don't find real women sexy any longer. He says part of the success of our company has been the overuse of pornography. Men can use the doll, turn to the doll, because the doll can be put in any position that you want. Yeah, man, you know, and there's been these brothels. The UK, the UK's first sex doll brothel, faced a backlash from human prostitutes who were scared that robots will put them out of business. It's like cabs and Uber. They're like, you know, maybe you just, I always said this about the cab companies, maybe you need to step up your game. If Uber is doing a better job, then maybe you should start being less crappy. Same goes for these prostitutes that are complaining about sex dolls doing better. Step up your game, ladies, or men. Do better. I don't know what to think about all that, except those dolls are very expensive. If somebody were to bequeath me one as a gift, I probably wouldn't turn it down. No siree. Let's see. I think I get to this one. Toymaker Mattel, known mostly for Barbie dolls, they're releasing a game called Flesh in a Frenzy. I want it already. It sends a brown plastic poo flying into the air. This is a board game for kids. I don't know if you've been out there lately. There's a lot of poo-related toys aimed at kids. I'm a 41-year-old man. I might buy it at Walmart in the middle of the night. I'm not going to lie. Hasbro, the other toy company, got Mattel, you got Hasbro. They don't want to get left out of this mix. They have a game called Toilet Trouble, which squirts water. It was a hit last year, so they released another one this year. Don't look a gift poo in the mouth. They released Don't Step in It, a game where players are blindfolded and have to avoid stepping in poo that's been molded out of a clay-like substance. You can also buy, and I might have, I'm not going to lie, it's like a Play-Doh mold-a-poo set that comes with little corn niblets. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Potty-related toys apparently are hitting stores now because of the popularity of the poo emoji, which has made it more acceptable for parents to buy poo toys for their kids. When I was growing up, mom, dad, you know, we might have laughed about poo, but there was no poo toys being bought for anybody. All right, here's the one I saved for last. We're about out of time here. I think we can all be glad that Domino's Pizza says it's in no way affiliated, no way, shape, or form affiliated with an adult entertainment website after news of that site's Domino's ordering sex toy was announced just a few days ago. They said, that's news to us, which is always a good excuse when faced with sex toy-related accusations. News to us! We have not worked with this company, nor have we authorized them to use our name in conjunction with their, quote, toy. Now, here's the thing. It's an interactive vibrator dubbed the Rub Grub. Great name. It's an interactive vibrator that has the ability to order Domino's pizza immediately following an orgasm. Now, I take from this, probably not just Domino's pizza, because you can program it to, you know, do, it's like it just does a series of events. How do you want it to work? You want it to do Papa John's? It can probably do Papa John's. But you program it so that as soon as you're dubbed, you hit a button affixed to the end of the device, which can be pre-programmed with the user's payment and delivery information, meaning that he or she would merely need to push the button to summon a pizza as soon as you're done. How good is that? Man, I tell you, it's only $20, too. technology, the world we live in. I think sometimes we're going in the right direction, people. That is it for me. I'd like to thank Joshua P. Warren for giving me the opportunity. I'd like to thank Vance Pollock, Shelley Wright. I'd like to thank the guys at M&D Paranormal. Check them out in Marion on State Street. I want to thank all y'all for tuning in. I'll get back to some of those emails. I've been slammed ass busy the past couple weeks. Keep sending them. I'll try to reply to them. Really bad with that. Y'all have a great week. Hopefully catch you next week. You are commanded.